Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be counting down the top 12 from the survey of George Bonner called the American Culture and Faith Institute, indicating a majority of churchgoers feel that they want their pastors to be able to talk about and teach about. And then what they want to know, they don't want our opinion or the pastor's opinion. They want to know what God has to say about these particular issues. And it's so surprising when you start seeing it, and it's going to encourage you, if you're a pastor, you're going to see, I need to start talking about these things. Also, if you've been a long-term viewer in our audience, you'll realize we have been talking about these things. And you can find out more about these at VFNTV.com and the VFN Torch and see some previous programs to be able to get educated on these topics. But the number 12 out of this survey that was done all the way across America, the 12th thing, which is 72% of Christians surveyed in America said they wanted to talk about, Islam. Think about that. They wanted to talk about Islam. And what they're saying is they want to know about the core beliefs, the response to Islamic aggression, how do we respond with its threats to U.S. peace, and domestic stability. And they're wanting, you know, as a Christian, not as a military person, but as a Christian, you know, how do you respond to these things? And the first thing we have to understand is, you know, what's this religion? You know, there's a lot of different religions in the world. Why is Islam different than other religions? Well, we talk about that all the time on VFN TV. There's a big difference in a lot of different religions in Islam. Islam is like a merger of government. It's political, governmental, and religion all together. When you hear the word caliphate, they're talking about wanting to have the Quran, which is their spiritual book, to be the rules for your nation. That's what they're saying. And 51%, according to Glenn Beck's book, It Is Islam, talks about 51% of American Muslims say that they agree with a forceful overtaking of America's Constitution to put Sharia law over that. So it's very important. We need to find out these things. Well, listen to this. 72% of American Christians surveyed are saying that they want to teach from your pulpit about this. And if you're worried about losing your pulpit or losing your church building, if that's what you lose when you tell the truth about what's going on, so be it. But the big specific thing you need to know right up front is, you know, that Paul says, anybody preaches to you another Jesus, right? Well, Islam believes in Jesus. They believe he was a prophet. They believe that he's going to come back, but he's going to come back and he's going to repent for calling himself the Son of God. And he's going to be the servant of their, you know, spiritual leader that is, you know, comes to the earth. And this Jesus, they think that they're perceiving, will go around and forcing people to convert to Islam. And the ones they don't, he'll behead them. And that's not Jesus. So we have to know the differences of these things. You know, people can believe those things, but you can believe what you believe too in God. And it's very, very important. And so we talk about this on VFN TV, and we want you to know about it, but your church wants you to talk about it, and you need to talk to your pastor. We have an action plan for you. At the end of today's program, we're going to talk about that. You can go and carry this action plan to your pastor and say, you know, these are things that we want. We'll make this survey available to you as well. So 72% are saying they want, 72% of Christians in America surveyed, with the number of people surveyed here, are saying that they want their pastors to teach them about what God has to say about Islam. And it's pretty, pretty relevant. And understand this too. You know, I believe the numbers are, there's probably only about 4 million Muslims in America. The number's right around the 4 million. But isn't it interesting that the media is making a great boast, you know, of these 4 million Muslims that are in here, you know, and anybody's welcome to come to America. But the people who believe that a caliphate and the Sharia law should be put into place and that the Constitution should be done away with, I mean, we need to be able to say, you know, this is America under the Constitution, one nation, under God, and you have to be able to line up with the Constitution there. So we could talk about that from our pulpits and tell people about that. Well, the number 11th thing, going from the 12th to the 11th, you know, what are Christians wanting to hear their pastors teach them a biblical perspective? It specifically is church and politics, government, separation of church and state, legal boundaries, church resistance to government. You know, you hear this narrative that's been taught, you know, so much about separation of church and state, and you have people that are scared to talk about anything political, when they're hanging around other Christians, when they're in their church buildings or from behind their pulpits. And it's like, this whole thing is political. It's how the leaders are chosen. And it boils down to this, you know, if it comes between losing a you know, tax exempt status or the truth, choose the truth. Believe me, you want the truth. But the First Amendment says very specifically, the government can make no laws concerning religion. That is the big thing. That's why it's so important. It wasn't so that the church will stay out of government, and so the government will stay out of the church. Well, your people, the people are wanting the pastors, according to the statistics here, 73% are wanting their pastors to teach them about the church and politics and government. And is it true? And it's like, how many people snuff out truth by saying, you can't say that here because this is a school, or you can't say that here because this is a church, or you can't say that. This is about freedom of speech in America. When you look at the founding, you know, of America, you'll find out that it was the Black Robe Brigade, the pastors of that day, that from their pulpits, they preached about all the different things that educated the people how to be able to stand up for freedom. And you can look in the history books of America, but also the history books of Great Britain, and they'll talk about, they saw them as a negative thing because we defeated Great Britain during those days. And we're going to talk about the top 10 when we get back from the break, but I want to just begin out. The first two we talk about is 72% of Christians want their pastors to talk about, you know, Islam. You tell me the details about it. What does it mean? How does it affect us? And church and politics and government, First Amendment, what does God require of us, you know, as a Christian? And when you look at Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, he says very specifically, you know, God establishes government, but he doesn't establish government to snuff out his voice. He established government to be his servant. And when it comes between you and a man, another man and God, you've got to choose God, you know, over man. If they're actually saying, you know, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to do that, and God says, you know what, you've got to do this, even if all the world doesn't want you to stand Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if they're going to throw you in a fiery furnace, I expect you to stand, you know, for God in love. Join us after the break. We're going to cover the top 10. It's going to be really surprising to you what the number one issue is. And this is amazing. You know,
amazing.
You think about this, that God chose through the foolishness of what is preached to win the world.
That's right.
And if that's the method that he chose and we're not applying that method, how are we going to win?
We're not going to win the world.
You know, and somehow I think today's culture in the church is like, oh, osmosis, just hang around and somehow you're just going to know something. But I can't talk about that if I talk about that. And so what are the people in this survey saying that they won't talk about?
And this is important. Yeah. These are people that actually live in the real world. You know, they have workplaces.
Yes.
They go to ball games. They interact with society. And they have friends themselves that they're trying to reach. And so they need answers.
They do. As a matter of fact, number 10, the top 10, 75%, as you're seeing right here on your screen. You can see it on your screen. Yeah, 75%. You know, self-governance, the biblical support. Thank you. The biblical support, personal conduct, impact on freedom, and national sovereignty. I mean, you think about this, that, you know, America is about self-governance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing that's not being done right now. You can't tell someone, no, you need to grow up. You need to take care of yourself. You know, you need to be self-governing. All your rights come from God. You know, we have a constitution. You know, you need to be able to understand you're a citizen. The first thing you find out when you're a brand new citizen is you find out you need to vote. You know, you find out that taxes are due on April 15th. This is part of the citizenship test. Mm. And the government, how government works. And so many people are trying to find some hero to come in to rescue them, not understanding that it's all of us working together in self-governance. You have be able to govern yourself. And so you're seeing people saying, you know, big government. What does big government mean? Big government means I want government to regulate me. I cannot be self-governed. I need to be governed by a government, which makes more laws on how you, you know, what you can do with a pond in your backyard now. I'm like crazy, you know.
Regulations upon regulations. You have to have certain cities. You got to have a license just to have a dog or a pet in your yard.
Yes, you do. And even ponds. And it's just really wild. You know, Cass Sunstein talked about that. Mm. We had that you know, in our program when he first entered into the scene, he said that I can write a, you know, we can write, we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to change anything, basically. So paraphrasing, you can write enough regulations that can accomplish it the same way. And they've been writing nonstop, you know, since he got in.
Death by regulations, right?
So then, you know, Christians are saying they want their pastors to talk about self-governance, which as a Christian, you would say, you know, you need to be able to repent. You got to be able to be discipled. But how difficult is it to even talk to Christians in America about, you know, you're going to need to be a disciple of Jesus. You're going to need to find out what he says about your life and live your life that way. And it's like, oh, okay.
All you mean read my Bible? That's so old.
And it's like, we're not going to have a nation without understanding that. And so there's the Christians are saying, you know, I guess they're basically saying, you know, quit, you know, criticizing me and start teaching me about it because I don't know about it. Because they're asking self-governance, 75%, John, are saying, I want to be taught
about
this.
It's huge.
And God just expects us. He holds us individually accountable before him for our lives. You can't blame your spouse, your parents, your children, your pastor, you know, some bully or some political party. You stand alone before God. So even if people say that there's no self-governance, God expects you to govern your life according to his mercy and his grace, but in light of what he says. And then you have the ninth, and the ninth is 76% of Christians surveyed. So they want to hear about bioethics, cloning, euthanasia, genetics, engineering,
cryogenetics,
organ donation, and surrogacy. And you think about this is what's going on with the baby body parts from Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. They're sending out all these cells and limbs, and they name off all the body parts, lungs, livers. Livers under big demand.
These things have in common? It's all about supporting life and people living longer and maximizing.
Right.
The question is, you know, why do you want life? What are you going to do with the life that you have? But I mean, these are things you got to talk about.
Right.
What's the root of this?
And I think the fear of death is one thing we're not supposed to have as Christians, and that you should teach about. You know, so many things. Everybody's trying to live, not realizing this life is a vapor, but we spend eternity with God.
Yeah.
We're preaching, you know, that Jesus died, he was raised from the dead, then he went to go where we're going to be with him to prepare a place for us. And so if we're not preaching about eternal life, then what's the purpose? You know, Paul said we should be pitied more than anyone else. So all this, you know, for example, organ donation, you're talking about, is that a positive thing or a negative thing? And they want you to be able to talk about that. Some people think, hey, you know, if I'm sinning, if I donate my liver or something like that at my point of death, genetics, there's cloning where they're cloning, they're growing body parts. You know, during our internship, you know, we talked about, you know, they're growing ears and dishes, petri dishes off of cells they're getting. They're growing a bladder. They grew a bladder. And you're like, you got to really say, you know, where is it? So we where are we headed to? And the church wants to know about that because this is what they're facing. 30% or 30-so% of the abortions that are taking place by people who profess to be Christians, right?
Not only that, but where is this going with, if you watched our program, Ray Kurzweil, I mean, with robotic parts that are being, they're trying to attach them to human beings. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're talking about having a RoboCop. That was just something you saw in the movies at one point.
Merging machinery and man, and what does that mean? And we think about, you know, knowing more and doing more than we're better.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, it's better to know less and be more loyal to God than know everything and be disloyal to him.
That's right.
Remember, it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Mm. He said, don't eat from. And the more we pursue knowledge, he says, knowledge puffs up. And so understanding, you can talk about this. You can ask your pastor to talk about, what does God's word really say about this? And he says is that my sheep will know my voice. They won't know all knowledge.
That's right.
They'll know his voice and he'll talk to you. Number eight is the role of government. 76%, you know, survey from Christians in America said they want their pastors to talk about the role of government, biblical view, church-state relationship. Personal relationships, personal responsibility, I mean, and limitations, 76%.
Wow.
John, 76%, you know, talked about that. And it's like, you know, what is that? What is the role of government? And government has a role, but if you'll ever look, the president talked about it at a prayer meeting. He said, let's not forget about the Crusaders and the Inquisition. you know, we need to learn our history because the Inquisition was over 600 years where people in the name of the church would government. The church was government and the government was church. And this is why our founding fathers are going, don't mix them too because it's not good, because they would literally disembowel people till they would make their loyalty to the Catholic Church. They call it to Her Lady.
Wow.
And they did it for 600 years. That's like 75 to 80 popes straight in a row. 75 reports are documented. And they were trying, this is when government and religion mixes, where all of a sudden the church is government, the government's church.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to say, what's the role with this? And if you study history and you say, well, that happened during the Crusaders, it happened during the Inquisition, and it didn't end up well.
That's right.
Because they were trying to get people to confess their rebellion to the Catholic Church, and because they were actually believing that you could find God through faith alone and read the scriptures, and you could follow scriptures literally. And the reports are, John, that entire villages were killed. Mm. Everybody in that village who were living by biblical principles, because they thought they were in rebellion to the Catholic Church, to the state.
Well, to be against the state would mean to be against God.
Right. It would be. I forget the heretic. They would consider them heresy and heretics, and so they would kill them. And so it's very important to understand what's the role of government. Well, right now, when you start seeing people giving up all this, trying to give up religious freedoms or trying to take it, you're looking at that same tension. It doesn't end well for those who surrender. You know, and it's interesting too that the First Amendment has to do with freedom of speech and has to do with our religious rights, mm-hmm. our rights to have faith, and to openly not be dealt. Government can have anything to do with it. Well, mm-hmm. if you understand the Inquisition, you understand this is why. If you understand the Church of England, what took place, there were being, you know, terrible things were happening to the pilgrims when they were fleeing to America, trying to find a place to be able to run.
And that statement, the church and state has to do with Thomas Jefferson. It has nothing to do with, it's not even in the Constitution. It was in a letter that he wrote to the Anabaptists addressing that issue. So it wasn't even,
it's not the Constitution. So the Constitution says specifically, and that's the reason we study history. See, you need to ask your pastor to begin to teach what's a biblical perspective of the government, the role of government. The seventh is 79% in the seventh, number seven out of the top 12, is Christian heritage, the role of Christian faith in America, history, the church role in the U.S. Development, modern day
relevance. Looks like we've been talking about this on VFN TV.
When we talk about these things, you know, one good series to get on role of government and Christian heritage is, maybe it's called the Heritage Series.
Yeah, I think so.
By David Barton with Wall Builders. But you can show the videos if you can't teach it. You know, David Barton did an excellent job mm-hmm. about the heritage and where we come from. He's got the Heritage Bible, I believe called the Founders Bible, that talks throughout the entire mm-hmm. Bible with different leaders that we had in the scripture. And it's like, David, this is what we do. All of us know in part, we prophesy in part. If your pastor can't teach on this because they don't know it, and they might not know it, you know, there's different giftings, and your pastor might be really good at, you know, loving you and being there with you and praying for you, but he or she might not be a teacher. They might not have ability to do that. You can just get the video, the DVD. Everything doesn't have to be said in some religious way.
That's right.
Just watch the videos. Never watch VFN TV.
There you go.
We talk about that all the time. We get back, we're going to talk about what is the sixth thing, and an 80% of the church surveyed in
80%.
This is the sixth thing they want their pastors to talk about. In the survey that George Barna did of the Christians in America, mm-hmm. what do they want their pastors to be talking about? And you had the top 12. We were on the sixth one. And the sixth one that they, the top six, the sixth one was 80% of Christians surveyed in America. This is what they want their pastors to talk about. Mm. They want to talk about Israel, its role in the world, Christians' responsibility to Israel, U.S. foreign policy towards Israel, and its enemies. 80%, wow. John.
Sounds like an educated biblical understanding of what is going on right now.
Sounds like VFN TV. You need to share VFN TV.
If
your pastor's not going to talk about it, understand God's going to hold you accountable for understanding it, and you can watch it. We have thousands of segments that we've done on these different topics. Islam 101, mm-hmm. you know, the 12th thing that the church wants to hear about and be taught about. You tell your pastor they can go to VFNTV.com, go to The Torch, and there is a area there they can go to that says Islam 101, how mm-hmm. to understand. And it compares Islam and Christianity. Muslim Brotherhood 101, that's there as well. I mean, mm-hmm. all that's there. And but to understand how it applies and right now you're looking at the enemies of Israel, where our leaders are partnering with the enemy. I mean, it's difficult right now, John. I mean, you have you're praying for Israel, and we pretty much always pray, and Lord, that you would prevent, you would destroy the enemies of Israel,
yeah.
Or that you would stop there, you would turn confusion on the enemies of Israel. But right now, America is an enemy of Israel. The yeah. American leadership has made decisions to partner with Iran for this nuclear. I mean, you need to know about that, because right now your representatives are saying they are going to approve this treaty, but they're not calling it a treaty, mm-hmm. but a nuke deal with Iran. And it says, reports are, that America would have to defend Iran from anybody that tried to attack them. Well, Israel's going to have to defend themselves, which, by the way, it's just like right next to each other.
Yeah.
Which means we would have to fight against Israel based on that agreement, mm-hmm. trying to defend Iran, who says they want to push us into the sea. I mean, you know, destroy Israel, push them in the sea,
right.
and destroy us.
That's right.
And it's like, we need to understand a biblical perspective of that. It's very important to understand Israel, because whoever blesses Israel was blessed, and whoever curses Israel is cursed. If you want to destroy your nation, harm Israel.
Yeah. And there is a Christian responsibility to Israel. I mean, that was very refreshing. That's something that the church wants to know, because we're going to be held accountable for what we did and didn't do.
Right, right. And we have many teachings and talks and programs on that as well. But you also have KUFI, Christians United for Israel, that's standing up for Israel. We partner with Avi Mizrahi in Tel Aviv, you know, with Do Good Ministries there. You want to find yourself, you know, standing with and standing for Israel.
That's one thing that we definitely do in this program. We have over 600 dedicated segments, individualized segments with related content and articles and just video and so much information just on Israel alone. It's a great resource for you.
Right. And we're getting to the fifth. What is the fifth top five things of the fifth? What are the fifth? Number five. Yeah, number five. 82% of the church surveyed in America, to the survey, they want to hear about sexual identity, same-sex marriage, transgender marriage, and LGBT, which stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transsexual.
Yeah.
And so they're wanting you to talk about this from your pulpits and to teach them, what does this actually mean? And there's just gender dysphoria going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't tell somebody who they are, the enemy will tell them who they are. If you don't show them by your own life, then they will try to find identity somewhere. And they're so interesting how, you know, the enemy's always there to say, hey, join my gang, you know, join my thing, or do this type of thing. We'll talk about that. You know, how did God create us, male and female? What does God's word say about that? Why does he say that? And what is the purpose of two becoming one flesh? You know, Malachi 3:16, he says to bear godly offspring, not for you to have a great time in your whole life. It's actually, there's a purpose to raising godly offspring.
And sex was God's idea. So we need to find out what God says, you know, and talk about it in that perspective. I think John Piper just addressed something like that on the Christian Post, which is really great.
Yeah. And in the church understanding this, we're not saying that the world needs to do something.
Mm-hmm.
This is strictly about Christians wanting to hear how they're supposed to live their life out.
That's right.
But right now we have all this dysphoria going on and all these different dysfunctions and uneducated aspects of our lives going on while their church is trying to rebuke the world. And it's like, that's not going to work.
That's crazy.
God didn't call us to change the world. He called us to win the world, one soul at a time. And so we got to begin to find out what he says. And the church is saying statistically that's what they want. The number four, 83% of the church said, and the fourth thing, the highest thing they wanted to talk about is culture restoration, you know, restoring the culture, appropriate morals, law and order, defensible value and norms. And what's right? Defensible value and norms and self-governance. We've talked about that already. But, you know, culture restoration, what does that mean? You know, I heard somebody say, you know, in America, when you're starting to see, you know, racism rise up, and somebody says, well, that's racism. And I said, I didn't say where it was, it wasn't, but I said, what about Japan? You know, Japan is not allowing anybody else to come and become a citizen of Japan. It's all Japanese. And they said, the same person said, oh, they're just preserving their culture.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute. You know, and it comes to a point, it's like, you can join America, but join America, don't have America join you.
That's right.
And understanding, you know, that, you know, what is the culture of America? And it is, all of our rights come from God. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the Constitution, which you need to get a copy of it, and has the preamble telling us very specifically about, you know, how God's, we believe that God, all of our rights come from God, and that we have a right to pursue, you know, liberty and justice.
That's so important. Weren't you just talking before a break about a push now to remove the Constitution? I mean, a greater push to remove the Constitution?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they're saying it's an outdated document. And it's like, that's like telling a fish aquarium, the fish in the aquarium, the glass aquarium, you can keep the water, you can keep all the things that you have, but we're going to take away the aquarium itself.
Right.
And it's going to, the water's going to go everywhere.
Of course.
And that's what's going to happen to America without the Constitution and without, you know, God over it. And so, what is the number number three? The third thing, again, is it? So the third thing, highest thing, 85% of the church surveyed they want to talk about, and this is that George Barner survey, and we're going to make this available to you so you can carry this to your pastor, is they want to talk about poverty and our personal duty to it. Isn't that awesome? Number three.
Yeah, that's great.
Number three. Government's role, the church role, homelessness, hunger, and dependency.
It's wow, like, that's wow. Strong. That's beautiful. Wow.
How are we missing talking about poverty and God's perspective on this from our pulpits? You know, how are we homeless? How come we're not talking about that aspect of it?
And let me tell you. Our personal duty.
Yeah. Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. Right. When I was naked, you clothed me. And if we're not telling people about that, or we're just, that they talked about in that survey, is that government's role or that's the church's role?
That's the
role?
Thing. If we embrace an ideology that the government's supposed to take care of people and not the church, then we're going to not be responsible and drive by and say, well, it's someone else's job to do, not our job to do.
Right. And the question is government God or is God God? Mm. And if you turn to government for these things, then government is your God. And believe me, just study the Inquisition a little bit. We'll make some related information for you. It's not good. And the Church of England, it wasn't good when they were, it was considered treason if you switched churches, switched faiths. And it's been some pretty tough history. You can ask the Queen Mary, Queen of Scots.
Yeah.
She lost her head over the whole ordeal. And so, you know, what is, you know, poverty and how do we respond to poverty? And there's going to be a great increase, by the way, in America. Yeah. Of poverty, because there's going to be a great transference of wealth probably about to take place, you know.
And poverty probably in other places, right? Other parts of the world, you know. Oh, abject poverty means the lowest level. Right. I've heard people say that in America, and I go, I don't think anyone here in America has been abject poverty.
I think the statistic is that our poorest person in America, our poorest person, is richer than 70% of the entire world's population. 70% of
that's
7
so
billion folks.
It's so important because we need to start looking and, you know, we have taken this blessing in America for granted so long, 5% of the population, yet we consume 95% of the world's resources. And if we have a proper perspective of poverty, we're looking outside the borders of the United States.
Right.
And maybe we'll get involved, see ourselves as global Christians and begin to reach people that are hurting, hungry, and we'll reach them with the gospel.
Right. By the way, John Paul, Pope John Paul, he repented. He asked for forgiveness about the Inquisition. I believe it was John Paul.
Did he really?
Yeah. They acknowledged it. And they even accepted Israel a little bit later after that, I think. Anyway, so what is the number two? The number two thing. I don't know how much time we have before the break, but.
We're good.
Yeah, great. So what is the second thing? Oh, there it is right there. You're looking at it, right? Mm. Number two, 86% of Christians surveyed in this survey said that they want to talk about, you know, religious persecution. This is the second most desired thing that the church wants the pastors to talk about. What's the biblical perspective of persecution and liberty, personal duty, government duty, church response, and global conditions?
Wow.
When you think about that, you know, persecution, we're seeing it on our televisions. You're seeing it on VFN TV. We're not hiding any of it, you know, all the way from, you know, babies all the way up to adults and Christians being beheaded just for their faith. We're watching our president go play golf after, you know, James Foley loses his head. It's amazing, you know, just the whole, you start wondering what does it look like when Gideon blows his trumpet and smash their jars and sword for the Lord, sword for Gideon. Now, somehow the enemy turns in on itself, and we kind of sum that up in a paragraph or two in the Bible. We think that was quick.
Yeah.
But the reality is we're watching America turn in on itself right now. We're watching... Wow. You know, feudal thinking is like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. This is God turning us over to ourselves. Mm. And understand, you know, Gideon and his 300 didn't weren't destroyed. It was the ones, and not only that, but even Jehu went through the crowd to find out who didn't even belong in the party that was going to be destroyed. And he went down and tried to find out, well, you're gods. You're not worshiping Baal. And he went through the party, the Baal party, and sifting. So God doesn't have these plans in store for his people, and you can be his people today. So if you want to be,
that's right.
And those are people that just said, you know, God, I'm sin. It's sin. I've committed this sin against you and against man, and I want you to be the Lord of my life. You're the only way I know that I can actually be forgiven and be brought into the family of God. And
I love what Leonard Ravenhill says. Leonard Ravenhill said that, because, you know, we have a tendency in America to point out people's sins as worse sin than the other, you know. Right. And Leonard Ravenhill said that the greatest sin is not adultery. The greatest sin is trying to live a life independent of God. Right. That's what we all come to a place where we realize, man, what am I doing? What am I doing? God gave me this
which
life.
Is the definition of sin.
Yes.
You're living life dependent.
We have to turn our hearts to him. He is the only way.
And it's important, you know. If in fact, I mean, I was watching Fox News and this former FBI agent was being interviewed about the recent, you know, this is about a year or so back, where they asked the agent, you know, these people that were taken hostage and put it by ISIS, if they convert, then they are free. But if they don't convert, which means you renounce your faith in Jesus Christ for this particular case, and you accept, you know, Muhammad and Allah and the Quran. And this FBI agent tells one of the agents on, one of the journalists on Fox News, that's every man's test. But you know what? How many of your people are going to fail the test because you didn't teach them about religious persecution? You didn't teach them that you may lose your job. You may lose a family member. I mean, God's showing us recently that there's great loss coming to the world. It appears that America is like the epicenter of this, you know, ground zero for this thing going down, because obviously it's a strong nation. Abraham Lincoln said America can only be destroyed if it's restored within, and
it's happening.
And it's happening. I mean, Demetrius Dudeman talked about that prophetically, and we shared a lot of words about that. But it's very important, not necessarily that we have long lives, is that when our life does end, we stand in the presence of God, loyal to God, and not teaching people that it's not life's not perfect. You got to make the best of what God's grace fixes in someone's life. And so many people are trying to stay connected to evil and stay, this is how it's supposed to be. You know, white picket fence and a fence. Like, no, that's the devil because of who you're relating to and what you're doing. And persecution comes because of that. You know, your own spouse may hate you. You know, Jesus said members of your own household, you know, maybe fighting against you. Your government could fight against you. He said, you will, in this life, you will be persecuted. You'll go through the same things. And if you're not teaching, so tell your pastor, what is God's perspective? 86% of the church survey, John, saying, teach us about persecution and liberty. We want to know what we need to do. More we get back for the break. We're going to talk about the number one thing. You'll be really surprised what it is the church wants to hear about. We are talking about the top 12 things, the survey that was taken of Christians in America by George Barna, the American Culture and Faith Institute, in regards to what are regular churchgoers wanting their pastors to talk to them about, not their opinions about it. They want, what is God's belief? Can you believe that people are, this is a pastor going, can you believe people are showing up and they don't want to know what I think about it.
Yeah.
They want to know what God thinks about it.
Imagine that.
Yeah. And then what his word says. That's what we're called to do, is teach the word of God. And I mean, God really spoke to us some time back, you know, that he is, America's in the condition it's in now because of the pulpits, what's being taught or not taught behind pulpits. I was a particular evangelist, I forget who it was, but he says, if there ever was an issue, and he lists all these different issues, he always says, it's because of what's being done or not being done behind the pulpit. Mm. The pulpit's the problem. And I think it's one of the Great Awakening leaders. So what is the number one thing? Let's not put it up yet. What is the number one thing out of this survey of the church that they want their pastors to teach them the biblical viewpoint about? And this is a shocker. This is the number one thing. And make sure that 30% thing is right that you were telling me earlier. But the number one thing that the church wants their pastors to teach them a biblical perspective on is abortion. Take a look at this. 91%, John,
91% want to be taught about a biblical perspective of abortion, the beginning of life, right to life, a contraception, adoption, and unwed mothers. And that's 91%.
That's huge.
Congress is trying to deal with this issue, calling in the leaders of Planned Parenthood. Why the pastors aren't even teaching their people?
Don't even know.
You know, based on this, 91% are saying, you know, this is when George Barna's talking about this, and Alan Barton's or
Glenn Beck.
No, Barton.
Barton. David Barton.
David Barton. They ask the pastors, and they say, you know, are you teaching on this? And the pastors go, yes. And but they ask the people who attend that pastor's church, and it says, your pastor teaching on this? They said, no. And you can talk to people all day long, but if you don't communicate with them, you don't know if they got it or not.
That's right.
That's one thing we learned out, you know, and if you have not yet attended a Vine seminar, you want to be attend a Vine seminar because, you know, we got to learn how to be the church again. And there's been, you know, we've had, you know ministers that they want to preach, but they weren't even concerned. We were going to give a particular minister once an opportunity to hang around and find out and talk to the people you just talked to,
right,
if they got it or not. And they didn't even want to know if they got it or not. And it's like, you'd be really surprised. You can say something over a crowd of people. And I interpret that based on my life experiences, you know, my personal maturity in Christ, my condition that I'm presently in. But all you got to do is talk to me, and when I say something back to you, and you preached up, but I told you down, you can help me out. It's, even God says reason together, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the thing about it, too, is that, you know, truth offends, and there's a good, based on percentage, on stats, that there's a good amount of Christians that have had abortions.
Yeah.
And so we have to be honest before God. We got to be very clear. At the same time, we need to be able to offer and let them know that God offers forgiveness.
Yes, it's so important. I wish we could talk about each of these in more depth. But even David said, you know, he knew that murder was what he committed, and he repented before God, and God forgave him. And God can forgive everything, you know, if we'll just acknowledge for what it is. And so 91% want to teach about, and we're going to make this available to you so you can carry this entire survey to your pastor, along with an action plan. We have an action plan for you. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. This is some three things that you can do. These are action items that you can take this information to your pastor. And the first thing you need to do is, you can see the action plan right here on your screen. Ask your pastor to preach on one of these culture items. Just ask him to preach on one of them. And also, too, give them information on it. You know, if they don't have the information on it, you know, help them out. You know,
if you have
some great sources and that type of thing. And so begin to ask them. The second is, give your pastor a copy of this particular survey. And we're going to make this survey available for you on VFNTV.com, on the VFN Torch. And so you can see, this is, you know, what the majority is. This is what happens, John. You know, 91% say, I want to hear you teach on abortion, but 9% don't. Right. So the 9% are going to give your pastor a hard time. So you need to carry a group of people with you when you talk to your pastor, to say, you know, we stand with you. We got your back, you know. And when that 9% starts talking, let him know that the 91% want and need to be able to hear about this. There was a particular bank in Texas that, you know, they had CNN News on, you know, quite often, all the time for their customers. And finally they switched to Fox News. You know, one's conservative, I guess. And so they had Fox News on for a while, and everybody, you know, really liked it, but nobody said anything. And all of a sudden they took Fox News back off and put something else on again. And all of a sudden somebody asked the question, why did you remove Fox News? And they said, well, somebody come in and complained. Well, that's like the 1%.
Right.
99% of your customers liked it, but they didn't say anything. And so your pastor needs to hear you say something and offer him group support. That's the third part of this. We're going to make this available for you. This is so important. Understand, if we begin to teach the truth and the truth brings us to a place of repentance, like Paul, like John was talking about, you know, truth hurts sometimes. If we're in sin, we know we need to be able to deal with some things, or things in our relationships, or things, you know, in our church or in our community or our business. But God's okay with that. God says, I got grace for that. You just got to come back to me. Come back to me, and I'll forgive you and I'll heal you, but you have to know these truths. So this will be available to you at vfntv.com. Go to the VFN Torch, and you'll have this entire survey, this action plan, and other materials and links about where we actually talked mm-hmm. about these particular topics already. Praise God. I want to just pray for you right now, and I want you to pray for us, by the way, if you would. You know, it means so much to me when I hear somebody say, you know, we are praying for you. And one of our friends, you know, said when we were talking on the phone the other day, they said, every time I get your letter, and you can sign up for the Torch newsletter, I pray for you.
Wow.
Me and my husband pray for you. That means so much to us. You know, we pray for you, but pray for us as well. As times get more intense, we're all going to need prayer. I want to pray for you now. Father God, I thank you for the Christians that took the survey. I thank you for George Barnett that put the effort out to be able to gather it. And I thank you, Lord, for the pastors who are saying, I didn't realize that they needed this, but they're going to say, I want to start teaching this. I pray that you would impart to them wisdom and grace and mercy and knowledge on your biblical perspective, what you want taught. Father God, encourage, God. Give us courage this day to be able to speak the truth in love. God, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Dear God, end abortion. Send revival. We pray in Jesus' name. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.